Hello and welcome to a Sustainable Wine Roundtable podcast. My name is Toby Webb. I'm one of the founders and the executive director of SWR. And joining me in this podcast to discuss bottle weight and packaging is Dr. Peter Stanbury, who is our director of research and standards. Welcome back to the podcast, Peter. How are you?
I'm very well indeed, Toby. Very well indeed. Thank you.
We are going to talk today about the Sustainable Wine Roundtable Bottle Weight Accord. It has attracted some attention in the global wine media, and in fact, a recent piece in Forbes referred to the fact that it needs to be inclusive of all players. Our objective, partly on this podcast today, is to reassure those listening that the Bottle Weight Accord is for everybody, because handling and producing wine bottles is something that everyone does who's involved in the wine trade in some way. Now, the question is, who has the power to reduce bottle weight? And of course, it's not just retailers who have helped us set this up, but also producers who are now increasingly joining the Bottle Weight Accord as we seek effectively to save everyone money and to knock 20-25% off carbon emissions. Peter, those are the basic headlines, but why don't you just run us through where this has come from for those listeners who aren't familiar? How did we at the Sustainable Wine Roundtable get started on bottle weight? And then after that, let's talk a bit about where we've got to today.
Found at SWR that the real value we add is collaborative action to provide an evidence base for action along the supply chain. We spoke with a number of our members last year, and the question of bottle weight was something that was at the front of a lot of minds. Developments like the extended producer responsibility, regulations like that, the need to measure scope 3 carbon means that this is something that's very much at the front of people's minds. But no one was quite sure what exactly does a lightweight bottle look like? How do we get there? Do we do it on our own or do we do it collectively? So we undertook a research process, which drew on a lot of work that some of our members had already done, and basically came up with an evidence-based position on what does a lightweight bottle look like and how do we get there? And really the research was focused on all the reasons why one wouldn't move, to try and find answers to all the points people raise about, well, we can't do it. So that's how we got to where we got to. We came up with a bottle weight accord, which is participating companies will reduce the average weight of their 750ml still wine bottles below 420 grams by the end of 2026. Now, given that the average bottle weight at the moment is around 550 grams, that represents 25% drop in weight and therefore also in the carbon footprint. Members will introduce phase reductions in line with their own procurement processes. So it's not that we're dictating how internal systems should work. And then we as SWR will publish the data every 6 months to show that progress is going forward. Now, initially, this piece of work was driven by a number of retailers, because obviously they're at the sharp end in terms of some of these new regulatory changes. But we're also now finding a lot of producer groups are becoming very interested in what we're doing for exactly the same reason. They are being asked by their customers to produce lightweight bottles, and they want to know, well, what's the position that we should be going to? It's very much something which, as you said in your introductory remarks, Toby, is an issue for the industry as a whole. It's not just a producer question or it's not just a retailer question. It's for everyone to work on together. And the advantage we have as SWR is that we cover the whole of the supply chain, so we can be that neutral, independent arbiter.
Let's just tackle one of the principal myths about bottle weight. There are others which we've debunked in our report. It's a comprehensive piece of research, which is available to any listener. Just contact us or go on the website. You can find it, swroundtable.org. The key barrier, aside from retooling the supply chain, which part of our efforts are designed to help with over the next year or two, one of the key barriers is this myth that heavier wine bottles are valued more highly by consumers, and that if you want to sell expensive wine, people won't buy it if it's in a lighter bottle. Just talk us through how we've punctured that myth, Peter.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those tropes that is widely believed, despite the evidence pointing to the contrary. Yes, it is true that if you give some consumers two bottles of wine, one of which is heavier than the other, they will tend to say that the heavier one is better quality wine. However, as one study demonstrates, that is only true for people who are not regular wine drinkers. For people who drink wine more regularly, they will not make that association at all, even in a circumstance like this. But the reality is that there are many things that affect consumers' choices in terms of the wines they buy. Bottle weight is minuscule in that universe. So just to look at some of the obvious ones, labels are incredibly important. There was a piece of work done by RAT, which is a UK packaging NGO, a few years ago, that used infrared streams to look at where people's eyesight was going when they went into stores. And its labels are absolutely critical. So is information on the shelf. consumers are also biased to wines where they come from, which is why if you go to a supermarket in France, you'll find it very difficult to find wine from, say, Australia or New Zealand. Wine expertise changes people's perceptions in terms of the wines that they choose. So there's a myriad of factors that affect consumers' choices. And so, frankly, if you are thinking we need to keep a heavier bottle because otherwise we're going to lose customer share, frankly, get yourself a decent marketing team. There are many other things that you can use to be able to persuade consumers to buy your wine, and bottle weight is tiny within that universe. It really is a myth that persists. There was an interview with a big Argentinian maker the other day who continues to make this point, but it is simply not true. There is no direct link between bottle weight and consumers' perception whether they'll buy it. It's simply not true. So you can move to lighter weight bottle without any effect on your market share. One thing that is quite interesting is that some of the world's finest wines have never really been in particularly heavy bottles. Even if you look at top growth clarets, I mean, okay, 550 grams is not light, but it's not the 700, 800, 900 grams that you get from somewhere like Amarone. So there is no association between heavy bottles and quality of wine in the consumer's mind.
I guess what we're looking at then is a cultural change issue for buyers who think that it's true. And then, of course, there's modern iteration of, say, medium-priced wine, which they put in heavy bottles, and then no one likes change. But I think what we're trying to do is reassure them that actually that won't make any difference. Of course, there are challenges here around breakage. There are challenges around retooling bottle lines. And it's all very well for us to work with companies to come up with this accord. But what are we planning on doing to help support them on the journey?
Let's just pick up on that point you just made first. When we talk about lightweight, the figure we came up with, as I've said just now, was 420 grams. And the reason we use that as a weight was because it could be used in existing bottling production processes without any need to retool. We wanted to be in a situation that we weren't, by putting the bottle weight accord into place, going to require large chunks of the supply chain to have to retool and re-equip, because that wouldn't have been viable. Now, down the line, we will do further work to see how much lighter can you go, because we do know that some of our members are perfectly happily using bottles at sort of 360, 340 grams. So we will look at whether we can go lighter down the line. Again, it's one of those situations that there's a perception that lighter bottles are going to be more fragile. That does not necessarily need to be so. Yes, you have to take a little more care in their handling, but you can still use them within existing processes. So that was the other half of the research, really, to say, well, how can you use it? It's important that we facilitate that process happening. You know, we all know that there's sustainability commitments that end up being hot air, and we want to make sure that that's not the case with the bottle weight accord. There's a number of actions that we are and will continue to take. The first is making sure that there is bottle availability. It's all very well saying move to lightweight bottles, but if a producer is unable to get lighter weight bottles, it's not really fair that they be excluded for something they can't control. We were talking to some producers in Beaujolais, for example, who were saying they have difficulty getting lighter weight bottles because they're at the, as it were, the back of the queue when it comes to the procurement process by comparison with the bigger brands. Talking to some South African producers, they're saying that they can't get 420 gram bottles for cork closure at the moment. So they're having to import them either from Germany or China. Now, obviously, then, yes, you might get a lighter weight bottle, but then you've got the carbon embedded in transporting around the place. So it's making sure the bottles are available. And to that end, it's great that we're working very closely with the bottle producers. NSERC was very constructive in putting the research together. We're also talking to OI. We're talking to Verallia. So making sure that the bottles are available. Secondly, it's actually being that link between producers and retailers to make sure that where there are some of our retailers who are buying from the same brands, that we can be a conduit for one conversation rather than everyone having several of them. We also want to put together a guide to filling line management. There's no reason why lighter weight bottles at 420 grams can't be used on existing filling lines, but there needs to be some more care taken. So we're working with some of the glass industry to produce a how-to guide to support that change. Then there's also the thing about consumer education. One of the challenges with our knowledge about consumer perception around bottle weight is that there's not been much research done recently. Obviously, in the last few years, the perception of sustainability and consumers' desire to buy sustainable products has changed. If we can develop consistent consumer messaging that producers can use, that retailers can use, so that the consumer is getting a consistent message about up to half the carbon footprint of wine is the bottle, we're reducing that weight, therefore you can buy this wine knowing that you're having a positive impact on climate change. But also we want to build the accord. This is what this podcast is around. We got some very favorable coverage for the launch. We want to keep that going. We've now got producer groups joining, and their argument is we need to be on this journey as well. So we need to keep building it. We need it to be the consistent position that everyone's moving towards. And well, why wouldn't you join it? So that's our other role, is to really drive the accord.
It's been great to see how responsive progressive companies in the glass industry have been. When we started this, I remember we met one of our members, a German producer, who said, you know, I'm only buying 250,000 bottles a year. And I went to my glass provider and they simply said, I'm not telling you anything. You can buy what I'm selling because you're not a big enough customer. And that was seen as a real barrier for what is a pretty small producer buying that number of bottles. Yeah. But what we're trying to do, of course, is send that consistent message. And the glass industry is really being quite responsive and supportive of this. Yeah. That's a great sign. And it shows the value of collaboration. One of the main values of the Bottleweight Core, in some ways, is it just sends that message. This is something that is going to happen. And of course, the Canadian monopolies are doing this anyway. We hope they'll be joining us soon. Canadian monopolies are very welcome to join us. The Northern European ones are mostly signed up and they're doing the same thing. So it's about sending the message that this is happening anyway. And then our role is to offer whatever we can in terms of collaboration around support. One of the main values that SWR offers is as a collaboration platform where we can connect you with others. We are not experts particularly, but we know the people who are. And so what a lot of our members have found is that, you know, they come to us with a question and we say, oh, well, you need to speak to Steve over here or Julie over there. Mm. And we can connect them to the right people who can help them answer their questions. And that has to drive efficiency. Because if we're not careful, everyone's going to be hiring the same group of consultants or similar groups of consultants to all do the same work for similar businesses. While we don't want to prevent consultants making a good living, there is an efficiency angle here, which is incredibly important. Where are we at the moment with the accord? We're getting more and more signatories. I'd like to see us getting towards 1 billion bottles covered by it. We're certainly heading in that direction. Where are we up to? What are the sort of headlines and where do you want this to go next?
When we launched, I think we had 9 companies signed up, all of whom were retailers. We've now got a number of other companies have joined, not all of whom are retailers. We have 2 big producer groups are participants now as well, and we're talking to others. It's very much spreading along the supply chain. This is an industry issue. And it is getting to the stage where it's seen as being, well, this is the obvious answer. This is the direction of travel. So in a sense, why wouldn't we join the Bottleweight Accord? And I think the point you make about the financial value as well, it's not just the fact that there's a position that is evidence-backed. It's also people who backed our work have put a sum of money into the work that we've done rather than having to pay the whole thing themselves. So there's been advantages for them in that regard.
So listener, if you want to know more about this, we've put together a very simple deck, which is available on swroundtable.org. So we urge you, download that, have a look at it, and then contact us to talk about how you can get involved. Peter, what does the next 6 months look like for the Bottleweight Accord?
The next 6 months of the Bottleweight Accord are really making sure that it works. Those various issues I talked about earlier on in terms of making sure the bottles are available, being the conduit for conversations between suppliers and retailers, continuing to drive membership, making sure that we're reporting the data as we go forward. So to keep driving it forward, continuing to build the Bottleweight Accord as the industry action in terms of responding to weighting of bottles. And I think you're right. Again, it was one of the reasons we chose 420 was because that's a position that the Canadian monopoly is already at. So it is now getting to the stage where it's, well, why wouldn't we join? Already, we're at a stage where we've got about 650, 700 million bottles worth of production that signed up to the accord. There's a bit of double counting in there because from a producer side, some of the retailer side, but say 700 million bottles. And we're in discussions with currently with a big retailer that would take that well over 1 billion bottles. We're already developing into quite a sizable process. And we'd encourage anyone, all of you out there, to join in. And I guess there's then the question of, well, why would you do that? What's in it for you? We've talked about the direct cost savings. One of our smaller retailers in the UK is saving about £500,000 a year through lower liabilities under the extended producer responsibility. There's a support to legal compliance. Companies are having to respond to things like scope 3 emissions, the EU Green Deal, and so on. Being part of the Bottleweight Accord can demonstrate legal compliance there. Greenwash, actually demonstrating tangible action. You've seen an awful lot of coverage of greenwashing across all product lines over the last few years. And this is something that everyone in the wine industry can do to demonstrate that they are taking tangible action, not just talking about it. Toby, you've mentioned the point about cost saving through collaboration. Rather than everyone hiring the same consultancy to do the work, bring us in, we'll do the work and move it forward. Also, it is a question of having authoritative evidence. It's having a, as far as anything's ever unarguable, an authoritative evidence base that provides a clear basis for action. We'd like to encourage everyone to join us in this journey.
Well, the wine industry is famously fragmented, but what's brilliant about this issue is everybody recognises that it's important. Yeah, everybody wants to save money. I mean, imagine 1 billion wine bottles, 25% lighter. difficult to do, difficult to visualize, but that's serious money saved. So we've got members' signatories to this all over the world. And what we're able to do as an industry is send a message about reducing carbon emissions, which could inspire others. So there's impact beyond the wine industry here. You and I have both worked in sustainability in other sectors for 20 plus years. And the wine industry in some ways is behind, but in some ways has so many advantages, not least the traceability back to farm, and not least the ability of many medium-sized companies who can move quite quickly. So, listener, if you're inspired by that, go to swroundtable.org, have a look at the report, have a look at the deck, contact us about getting involved, and let's work together to save money and slow down climate change. Peter, thanks very much for your time today.
You're very welcome, Toby.